Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Charity Charge Show. Today, I am excited to have with us Holly Wissman, who is the Director of Philanthropy at Breakthrough Central Texas and the newest president of AFP for, of the Greater Austin Chapter, which is the Association of Fundraising Professionals, Greater Austin. Holly, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yep. Well, I know this is a long time coming, and I really appreciate it because right around the corner is your big event, Philanthropy Day, on March 24th here in Austin, Texas. Can you start us off just telling us a little bit about AFP and what Philanthropy Day is all about?
Sure. So AFP Greater Austin, our mission is to facilitate ethical and effective fundraising in Central Texas. And we are, as our name says, the Austin chapter of a larger global affiliate, AFP Global. So there are chapters around the country and the world who have this shared mission and of facilitating ethical and effective fundraising and philanthropy. And really at the heart of our work is, you know, providing support for fundraisers, right? So that's relevant and high quality education, networking, mentorship, leadership development, locally and nationally providing scholarships for so that our members and fundraisers in the community have access to our services, and just providing community, you know. Fundraising is, in some ways, it's not rocket science. It's all, you know, about relationships at the heart of it, but it is hard work. And there's a real need for support in our, there's some research out now that, projections that 80,000 fundraising leaders are projected to leave the field every year over the next 10 years. And so having a community to turn to for learning, support, networking is so important to for the sustainability of our profession. And in that profession, like, you know, we're the connectors, right? Like, so we work for organizations that are doing, have amazing missions, are doing amazing work in our communities across here locally, across the country and world. And all of those organizations need funding to support, and fundraisers, we're that connector to connect folks who care about those missions with the folks on the ground doing the work. And so we like to think of it, it's the impact profession. So AFP is providing that support for people in our field.
I love it. I really applaud and think organizations that are being the capacity builders for the greater philanthropy industry are just amazing and so needed. Charity Charge is, you know, I always think about what we're doing is we're just one small piece of the organization, but we're really an important piece. And obviously every organization has to fundraise to be able to accomplish the great work that they set out to do, whatever the mission is of that organization. So I love that you're helping drive fundraising and support for fundraising professionals that can better serve and grow their organizations. You know, one thing that I wanted to bring up to you is we get a lot of individuals reaching out that are in college and they're interested in entering the nonprofit industry. Does AFP, either from a national perspective or from a local perspective, have ways that young people can get involved?
Absolutely. And it's interesting. I feel like there's a growing, I'm gonna age myself, but have been in the profession for a long time. And when I talk to other fundraisers, each of us, we often have, you know, whatever version of our story of how we fell into fundraising through a variety of different paths.
Tell us yours.
That what was that?
I said, tell us, keep going. I want to hear yours.
Okay. Yeah, I will share mine for sure. But, you know, we often fall into it through a variety of ways. And I don't meet a lot of people who, fundraisers who set out, like, you know, going through college with the goal of becoming a fundraiser. But there are, we are increasingly seeing, you know, collegiate programs that offer that kind whether fundraising specific or nonprofit management tracks. And so I do think that there's a growing pipeline.
Yeah, I also want to add, just for kind of the context of the conversation, I think part of it too is what stage and what are the aspirations of the organization. I was always told, starting a company or starting a nonprofit, you've got to be able to sell, right? And so in this case, fundraise. And so there's so many individuals out there that are starting nonprofits. If you look at the growth trends, the net new creation of nonprofits versus for-profits is faster on the nonprofit side. So there are a lot of passionate people out there that know their mission and want to serve and want to do great things. But if they can't fundraise, they're never going to be able to accomplish their mission. So it may not always be individuals that are seeking specifically out of the gate, I want to be in a, fundraising type of role. But if you're going to be working at an organization that you're founding or that is, one, two, three, four, five or so employees, you've got to have that fundraising hat on. So maybe talk to us a little bit about that too.
Absolutely. It's such a good point. And, and when I was describing AFP's work, I think I focused on fundraisers specifically, but that can mean a lot of different things. Our membership doesn't include just full-time, professional fundraisers. We have volunteer fundraisers, board members who are members. We have EDs and CEOs who know exactly what you're talking about, like how important it is that in their leadership role that they be able to put on that fundraising hat and make it a priority in their work and seek, AFP support for growth and learning in that. In that area. So 100%, you're absolutely right.
What about, can you talk to us a little bit of some of the things that have emerged since the kind of the start of the pandemic and that are leading into now, your presidency that you're excited about? Some of obviously the movement that's gone on globally is around diversity, equity, and inclusion. I know there's been strides that AFP and programming and such that you all have been focused on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. We call it IDEA. There's a variety of different acronyms, but we use IDEA, inclusion, diversity, equity, and access. And it's our number one strategic pillar in our current strategic plan, both here at the local Austin chapter level and at the global level. It's a major priority for us, I think. Not just in the nonprofit sector, this is across the board. I think all organizations and companies are doing a lot of internal reflection about both our internal practices and how we engage externally. And AFP is no different from that. And we're in this, like you said, this capacity building role where we're not only doing that assessment for our own organization, but also in this role where we can provide learning and support for our members who are going through that with their own organizations, right? And, I think the philanthropic space and even for our chapter two, there's been this kind of, there's a lot of bias around what does a philanthropist look like, right? Like what comes to mind when you think of a philanthropist, or how do we define philanthropy? And wanting, it's not just about the big headline grabbing gifts, right? The 7, 8, 9 figure gifts. But philanthropy is about so much more, and all of the time, talent, treasure, small and large, that someone has to offer a mission or a cause, and the role that we as fundraisers play in kind of activating all the ways that people can contribute. And so, especially with our upcoming Philanthropy Day awards, that's something that we've worked really hard to highlight, to really share the diversity of philanthropists, philanthropic organizations, the richness of that in our work that's happening in our community, but that hasn't always been you know, historically been celebrated.
I think that's awesome. I'm so excited to attend. Well, I'll mention again.
For you to attend.
Well, and it's Philanthropy Day on March 24th at the
At the JW Marriott. It's from 11 to 1 p.m. We'll have time at the top for everyone to check in and mingle. You know, this event, we were virtual last year, but in 2020, the event happened literally like 2 days before everything shut down. You know, it's really a special day. I've been attending, gosh, for 12 years maybe, and have been, you know, and in all different capacities, and a guest, a sponsor, a volunteer, committee member, chair, now as a board member and president. And I never fail to leave the event just feeling inspired and grateful for the work that we get to do in community together, right? So the fundraisers, the service providers, the philanthropists, volunteers, it's all that we can accomplish when we come together. And that's actually our theme for the event this year is together, because we're bringing everyone back together in person. And, you know, that is one of the things that I think our attendees and participants in this event really enjoy is just that coming together of the nonprofit and philanthropic community. It's really special.
I think it's really important. A piece of advice I was given that I've really tried to celebrate at Charity Charge and in my life has been what you appreciate appreciates. And so it's wonderful to give people this recognition that they truly deserve. And I, you know, just in my, over the past handful of years and interacting with, you know, thousands of individuals at different organizations, I know that it can be very lonely and tiring being in a fundraising type of role. So I think it's wonderful to celebrate individuals that are bringing in the dollars that help allow these organizations to accomplish their amazing missions. It all goes hand in hand. What, you know, given that a lot of our listeners are individuals that are running organizations themselves, I know that part of the, what you had put, you know, we kind of sent out a little bit of a questionnaire before the episode. You talked about the paradigm shift happening in the sector from donor-centered to community-centered fundraising. Can you talk a little bit about that? And then maybe that dovetails into your next education program, which is titled Past the Tipping Point, How to Keep Up in a Post-Pandemic Era on April 21st.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think, you know, in our sector, and I can, you know, speak from personal experience, the best practices that we've learned in fundraising have largely been, you know, the term you use, right? Donor-centered fundraising, and that we have worked in stewarding our donors to center them as the heroes in the story, right? And there is a paradigm shift that we are very, you know, living in this moment that has emerged and really come to the forefront in the last couple years. And that's the community-centered fundraising movement was envisioned and brought to life by a group of BIPOC fundraisers. And there's a community-centered fundraising Texas chapter, you know, they're developing around the country, but it's really looking at how we center, instead of centering the donor, how do we center our fundraising best practices in racial and economic justice? And in thinking about the part, you know, one, valuing the many ways that people can contribute and be philanthropists, right? To diversify how we define that, to think about the clients and communities we serve, that they have a voice, that they know best what their community needs, and that we are, you know, that we're true partners to them, right? And we're bringing them in as partners along with our funders, and together, you know, we can create the impact that we want around each of our missions. But it's, you know, these are best practices that have been ingrained in us for years. And so I think on the, you know, on the fundraising side, we're all trying to figure out how we, what does that shift look like in our day to day? Like, how does this manifest in our work? And at AFP, we're trying, you know, this is a priority for our members. And so we're trying to, you know, offer educational opportunities for us to all grow in this area. And our, you know, education, as I said, is at the heart of our work. And I so appreciate you bringing up our next chapter meeting. We do have, we have a number of education opportunities here with our local AFP chapter, one being our kind of signature bi-monthly chapter meetings. And our next one is on April 21st. And that will be led by Ashley Thompson, who leads the Blackbaud Institute and just brings such a wealth of experience in the sector from a data perspective, but for her own leadership. And we're excited to have her and to be to have that chapter meeting in person for the first time is really exciting for us to reconnect with each other. But yeah, she'll be sharing some trends on how we keep up in the post-pandemic era. And that's, you know, part of that is this kind of paradigm shift, but the other piece is we're all trying to, I mean, I think this is not just in the nonprofit and fundraising space, but we're all trying to figure out what does our work look like as we, you know, hopefully continue, fingers crossed, that we're continuing to emerge from the pandemic or at least normalize at some level. And it's not business as usual. So how, you know, what can we do as AFP to support our members in that transition?
That's awesome. I appreciate you talking about all that. Can we roll back though? Because I want to, as you were talking about this community-centric fundraising movement, I hopped on and was Googling and reading, kind of browsing through different articles and whatnot. Yeah. Can you, I don't know, I know you're just went over it, but something's not connecting. Can you give maybe some tangible examples or try to just give some more detail about what it's all about and why is this a big deal?
It's really about, like, at the heart of it is centering equity in our work. You know, it's interesting as fundraisers, we're often navigating this power dynamic, right? Of, you know, partnering with our funder community, where, you know, some may say, you know, we're chasing those dollars, but what are the implications for your mission? Uh-huh. Where are we centering our values? And so the community-centered fundraising model is really about centering equity in our fundraising and making that a priority. And we, you know, still, of course, are, you know, respect our donors and want to love on them and show them all the gratitude and appreciation for their contributions to our work. But we also want to make sure that we're really building those relationships and bringing them on as a partner, right? And that there is an empower both the organization, but also our clients and those that we serve. And it's, you know, it's our partnership together where we can mm-hmm. Create that impact to have more equity and to kind of combat some of the power dynamics that have been prevalent in our sector.
What's the reality in our sector? What is the reality of that? Because the more and more as I get older, I seem to continue to realize the saying, he or she who has the gold makes the rules, right? And so there's a tremendous amount of that, obviously, in the nonprofit space. I think this maybe is what you're getting at. Whether it's grant-making organizations sort of changing or dictating the mission and mm-hmm. because they're giving money to a nonprofit and they're saying, go do this project. And the nonprofit is sort of gets mission creep and like takes that money and then has to all of a sudden shift and do what that donor's asking. Or maybe what you're talking about is like, I don't know, a less than righteous person donates a large, or is willing to cut a really large check to a nonprofit and they take the money, even though it's challenging like their values. It seems really challenging. I mean, really like worthwhile, but like a real challenge when dollars want to be given to an organization. You know, will they not accept those? I mean, is this, how realistic is this?
That's a great question. And that is one of the things that I think organizations are grappling with right now, right? Mm-hmm. We need funding to sustain our missions, but if we are truly centering equity, like that is one of the principles in that movement, is to question, you know, do our values align with the organizations align with the funders, and are we willing to, you know, that's one of the things. Are we willing to accept funds from just anyone? That's one of the questions, right? Yeah, it's not easy, right?
Right. No, it's awesome and it's tough and it's very like messy and it's great at the same time.
Right. And it's dealing with,
you know, I mean, what the mission, what this is trying to do, but the reality is it's challenge.
Yeah.
I totally get what the whole point of the mission is now as you say it that way, or the movement that rather.
Right. And it's about, you know, it's this recognition, broader recognition, and bringing visibility to the systemic racism that's existed in our nonprofit and philanthropic space, and an attempt to kind of bust those systems and let's create, you know, practices that are more equitable.
So when I brought it up, I found maybe the national group, but is there a CCF in Austin? Did you say?
There's a Texas chapter. So there are some Austin-based individuals, and I believe also based out of Dallas, that kind of came together to launch a Texas chapter that meets regularly and also provides educational opportunities, has a Slack channel, so we can kind
of
exchange learning and try to, you know, what's working for you, you know, and just create some dialogue around this, because it's something that's happening in the moment. Like, we're all trying to figure it out, and it is messy, just like any conversation around, you know, that goes back to institutional racism and trying to, you know, combat these systems. It's going to be messy and it's going to take time, and, yeah. And AFP is in it too, and committed to, you know, trying to provide learning and connections among our members to figure this out.
What an interesting time for you to have stepped into the president role as there's so much change happening all around the world, and especially in the fundraising area, and then especially Austin, the growth of that. So that's sort of where I want to start to round out the interview. I'm curious your perspective. I mean, how long have you approximately lived in Austin?
Sure. I'm now, let's see, do my math, almost 23 years in Austin.
Awesome. So you've seen the growth. I've been here 12 years. How is that playing into the future for AFP, if at all?
That's an interesting,
because you're president during this such a interesting time as the city is continuing to boom and grow and all this economic development's going on and jobs are being created here. And it seems like there's just such an opportunity to grow and engage with all the people that are moving here from a philanthropic perspective, all the people that are moving here that could go potentially work and be a part of these organizations, all of the companies that could be here and support these organizations.
Yeah, so much growth in Austin. I think that's, you know, one of the things that so many nonprofits, like, we're all trying to figure out, how do we engage all of these new folks that are moving into Austin? How do we create meaningful opportunities to connect them with our mission and get them, you know, plugged in and giving back to their new community, investing in this community that they've chosen to make their home, whether it's an individual or an organization. And so that is very much something that if you talk to nonprofit fundraisers here in Austin, we're all trying to figure out how do we get in front of all the new folks moving in.
Got it. Well, that is something I'm sure that will be discussed amongst people that are at the Philanthropy Day, which again is on March 24th. I want to give a big shout out to Rebecca Powers for putting us in touch and having me as a guest at her table.
Yay, Rebecca. She's the best.
Holly, if individuals are interested in attending that event or getting involved with AFP, what's the best way for them to learn more?
Absolutely. So our website, afpaustin.org, is the best place to find more information about Philanthropy Day. We do still have tickets and table sponsorships available. There's room. We're thrilled to be back together in person and would love for folks to consider joining us. In terms of getting involved, you can also find information about membership, all of our upcoming events. I do monthly coffee chats, fourth Friday of every month. My next one is on the 25th, the day after Philanthropy Day at Try Hard Coffee. And so anyone is welcome to stop by and chat. But all of that information is on our website. And we also, for those who are, we offer a lot of scholarships for those who are interested in becoming members, but, you know, maybe want to learn more or don't have support or access from their organization for the membership and program fees. There's a lot of ways that we can work around that. And we don't want that to be a barrier.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate everything that you're doing, Holly, for Austin and the greater fundraising community. It's great.
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to see your face. Look forward to seeing you at the event and just to share AFP's work with your listeners.
No, it's my pleasure. Thank you. And for everyone who listened to this episode, we were so lucky to have Holly Wissman, who is the president of the Association of Fundraising Professionals Greater Austin Chapter. Holly, thanks again for being on.
Thank you, Stephen.